Golly. Don't you just want to clap? Don't you? I just tell you, you want to clap. Isn't that awesome? This is our Super Bowl Sunday, by the way. This is like bowl season, like, you know, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, everybody's happy. Southern Miss did good. The first half was awesome. We thought you might win. It was close. It was good. Better than last year's record. Let's just be honest. That's good. 9-4, I think, was the final record. So fantastic. Everybody's happy. But today is our Super Bowl Sunday, and we're even going to dive into the next Sunday. There's just so much to talk about and so much to celebrate what God has done. Thank you, Chris Robbins. That is a timely task to put all that together and try to condense a year's worth into 10 minutes. And so thank you, Chris, for doing that. Speaking of that, do we have, and Chris, I have no idea where you are, do we have that other video for the offertory? That one, the one that we couldn't show the other few weeks ago? Can we get that? Is that possible for the offertory? Maybe, possibly. The school, one from the school, from the class. I think it's on the computer already. How about that midstream? Don't you love that? We got to share one with you that somebody sent to us special. We're just having it for the offertory, so not now. So that'll be for our offertory. But this morning, we want to celebrate. We want to take your Bibles, if you will, turn to Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 7. And our theme this morning is this, R-E, capital R, capital E, again and again. Taking from Philippians chapter 3, and this is a prefix, the two letters there, R-E is a prefix, which literally means again and again. And so you put this prefix in front of words, and it's something that you do again and again. So you might say, rediscover. Well, I already discovered something, but sometimes you need to come back and rediscover it again. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning as we take a look at God's Word and celebrate what God has done. If we think about this from the standpoint of God's perspective, God does these things again and again. God pours out His love and His faithfulness and His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness, and on the list goes. God does those things every day, all the time, again and again. Not based on who we are or what we do, based on who God is. He does this for us over and over again. And so our response is to do those things which are pleasing to Him over and over again. Today is not about resolutions, about making some commitment necessarily, as much as it is to stop and to think about and pause and reflect about where we've been last year. Stop and think, thank God for that, and don't rush ahead into next year. Let's just stop and celebrate what happened last year. We're going to do that this morning. But also pause and take account about where we are as a church family, where we are as individuals, and where we believe God might be leading us in the year 2016. As you look back over 2015, we started in January. Many of those things we knew where we thought God was leading us, but some, they evolved over the year. The 3:11 night, we had no clue that would exist. If you'll remember, I ended my last year's State of the Church message with a pair of shoes that has rocketed us into a wonderful, vital, beautiful ministry in our Petal Primary School. And so we didn't know that was all what all that was going to mean in our church family. But so there's things on the horizon. We don't even know what's there yet. But we want to set our eyes and our focus on some specific things we believe God might be leading us to. But as we celebrate in just a moment, I want to encourage you. You hear something that makes you excited and you get fired up about it. Can I just encourage you? Let's just pretend it's first down, as we hear in Oxford Stadium. First down. Thank you, Brian Riles. Thank you. Somebody got it with me. I know y'all to be excited from the Sugar Bowl. Y'all didn't need no sugar evidently while y'all were down there, right? And what did I say, Mississippi State? I don't know when they did first down. What is it, Mississippi State fans? What else would they say? Of course, right? Hail State. All right, so first down. Okay, well, I'm going to get there, Tony. Just give me a minute. I'm going to make everybody happy. I'm even going to cover William Carey, okay? All right, so first down, Southern Miss fans, first down. Well, there's more Southern Miss fans. Ole Miss fans, kind of sad today, all right? And so, William Carey fans, what do y'all say? What do you do when you get, that's a true point. What do you say when you hit a home run, Larson? Is Larson here today? Larson, where are you at? Is he here? Nope. What do they do when you hit a home run? Livia, what do they do when you hit a home run? Do you know? Is Livia here? They laugh and cheer. They clap. They clap and hit a home run. Okay, thank you. Thank you, William Carey people. So just so I don't feel left out, we'll just say a home run, all right? So William Carey, home run. There it is. All right, so there it is. Golf clap. Thank you. Thank you, man, in the first row. Very good. All right, so if you hear something in a moment, we want to celebrate. We want to clap about it, all right? We want to be a little bit uncouth and maybe a little bit unbaptist, if we could call it that, because we want to celebrate what God has done. So let's look at Scripture, though, before we get there and think about this perspective. Let's stand in honor of reading of God's Word. And y'all be sure to make me make you stand up, all right? Will you do that? Because sometimes I try to give you a break because we do Baptist aerobics a lot, it seems like, and you've been standing a long time, and so I feel bad to make you stand right back up again. But I love that we stand in honor of reading God's Word. If you don't have a copy, it'll be on your screen there. And again, the app is available on your phone, your iPad. You can follow along there as well. The instructions are in your worship guide. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And not that I've already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning as we have celebrated this morning in worship. Lord, as we have declared that you reign above all things and that our God is greater than any other God, that you are the name above all names. And Lord, we're praying as we pray every year that this would be the year of Jubilee, the year of revival, the year when things would be different in our state and in our city and in our country and even in our world. That you would come in a mighty and a powerful way in our lives personally, in our church corporately, and beyond. God, would you speak to us? God, we just want to celebrate you this morning and what you have done. We just want to celebrate it. Rejoice in it. And Father, also stop and pause and take account of where we are and where we feel like you want us to be. So God, give us a heart to hear. Give us, Father, fingers to write down literally what we think our next step needs to be personally and corporately as a church family. God, I pray you'd speak to us in these moments and we would listen intently. And God, our goal would be when we leave this place that our lives would have been transformed by meeting with the living God. Holy Spirit, would you move? Would you allow my tongue to speak only the words you would have me to speak? And God, may you make us alive to these truths this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you take your outline out this morning, some of you almost panicked and thought, wait a minute, I thought last week he said my New Year's resolution was get us out on time. And I've given you double the outline. And have you noticed that? Did you notice it's a fold? It's a double fold. There's four pages instead of just two. Aren't you excited? Aren't you a little nervous? Good. Some of you are still asleep from New Year's Eve. All right, got to wake it up this morning now, all right? So what I'm going to do is we've got some things there that we're just going to fly through, some things there that will be application, things you'll get to read later, but some important stuff for us to take a look at. But the RE, we're going to look at some RE words, all right? And the first one is this, to reflect and to rejoice where we have been. We want to celebrate, here's the key, transformation. Now these are numbers we're going to look at, but please know and understand near my heart and the heart of our Vision 2020 team, and here it is, that these numbers represent transformed lives. Some of which we've seen this past year, some of which have been seeds that have been planted in the lives of people that have yet to be reaped. We've only sowed those seeds. We've not seen the reaping of that harvest, but we've done a lot of that. Lives are being transformed. Just to give you a comparison to year, we love to do this on this particular Sunday. So we celebrate the Lord. In 2014, we added 88 new members. This past year, we added 60 new members. Last year, 29 by baptism. This year, 21 by baptism. In the last 4 years, God has added 302 people to our church family. We've seen our life group attendance continue to grow this year from 210 last year average attendance to this year, 221. Also, for the very first time in over a decade, we went over 300 one Sunday. in life groups in August. Well, that was the day we had jumps and lunch. So we've decided once a month in 2016, we're going to have free jumps and lunch because it makes it really go well. Anyway, just kidding, we're not, but it'd be great if we could. But we saw our numbers in worship increase from 2014 by 12% in this worship center from 264 average to 296. We saw in the building overall, including our preschool, 290 last year to 322. We broke the 300 mark for the first time, perhaps maybe in our history, which is an 11% increase. Just to give you a comparison, because some of you weren't here 3.5 years ago, that's 130 people we're averaging in 2011, to now we're averaging 322 people in worship. Last year, there were 4 months. 4 months of the year, we averaged over 300. And in this past year, in 2015, 9 of the 12 months, we were over 300. On Easter Sunday, if you remember, we saw for the very first time over 500 people in our building on Easter Sunday in two services. In Trunk or Treat, we lost count. We quit count. We don't have any clue how many we had. We guesstimating like a good, like New York police or Washington State police or Washington, D.C. police, like 1,500 to 2,000 people. I mean, people, some of you here at Trunk or Treat know what I'm talking about. They kept coming and coming and coming, and we parked cars on the street practically. I mean, they were here by the droves. Family-friendly Wednesday nights have grown. We've grown 18% average. 199 last year, 231 this year. Our offerings last year, 571,000, which is a huge number. This year, $622,560 in our just outlive your life and the ministry plan giving. That doesn't include the extra giving. When you put in the extra giving, it is way up. It's 750,000, something like that. It's an extraordinary amount of money. In May of 2013, we launched Outlive Your Life. It was officially over. It was a two-year emphasis. It ended in May of 2015. But many of you, like me, have continued to give because our note is still there and there's still much to be done. We've not publicized that. We've not made a big deal about it. But if you still want to give to that, you can. It's our goal is to use that money to complete space. That's our goal. And a huge announcement, folks. This is huge. For the first time in well over a decade, for the first time, our church in February will pay up on our note and we will owe under $2 million for the first time in over a decade. That is exciting, isn't it? Man, woo, I was excited we found that out. Now, I feel a little bit like a used car salesman. It's going to be $1,999,500, but hey, we'll be below $2 million. And that is an exciting mark for us in the life of our church family as we continue to pay down that note. You've given, by the way, over $240,000 to that emphasis since May of 2013. We have seen a record number of new givers. We've seen many givers take the step up the generosity ladder, increasing your giving each and every month or year. You've seen you continue to grow in that area, and we want to pray that only continues. Our Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American Missions, 2014, $8,000. This past year, over $10,000. Margaret Lackey, up $400 to $500 to almost $4,000. Lottie Moon, you already saw the number. Last year, we gave just over $16,000. This year, you almost doubled it. You got close. We gave just under $30,000, $29,342. I don't know, Dr. Wall, that probably won't beat Temple Baptist because they give a lot more. But I guarantee we'll be close second or third from a church that's not as big as some other churches. And so that is your sacrificial giving. And here's our prayer, isn't it? We want to see no more missionaries come home. Right? That's our goal. And we want to be a part of that effort. By the way, we've got more cars. Y'all are buying more cars, and more of y'all are driving cars. Last year, we had 133 of you parking every week. Now we got 145 of you. We have a total of 106 spaces that are paid. So thank you again. Many of you continue to park on the grass to leave our paved spaces open for our senior adults and for our guests that come to our worship each and every week. You gave 250 boxes to Operation Christmas Child last year. This year, over 350. Last year, we launched our Vision 2020 plan and began the implementation of that plan. Right now, currently, as of December, you have helped over 55 students and their families have food, backpacks, clothes, and shoes since we began that ministry in August. Currently, right now, every single weekend, we're taking food backpacks to 74 different children, and you gave them a spaghetti meal and a stuffed animal extra this past Christmas as they went home for the Christmas break. We have over 25 people right now. That's halfway to our goal of 50, but over 25 of you are going every single week. You have a little brother or a little sister, almost all of the primary school, but a few others that are scattered about that are doing the ministry of being a big brother or a big sister. powerful moments. We helped with the Backyard Bus Program. We launched our very first block party and also Backyard Bible Club in the neighborhood behind Dirt Sheep, praying about what the Lord would have us to do in the coming year, maybe some different directions there. Largest ever international mission trip participation ever, with 3 trips to Haiti, 2 trips to Indonesia, with 40 people in our church. Now, let me just help that for some of you that weren't here 3 years ago. We had a grand total of international mission participation of a big total of zero. Zero. And now, this last year, 40 people, plus I got to add the Rainies, because I just thought about y'all, that's 45 people that went. Christy Richmond was with you, that's 46. We'll count her as a member. She can go and join today. That'd be good. And so, you like that little plea, wasn't that nice? And some other people need to join today, too. I won't name them, but yeah. And so, 46 people went mission trips. That is phenomenal. 46 of you said, yes, I will take the call. Our international mission spending, by the way, where our goal is to spend this amount of money in our church year. This is calendar year numbers I'm giving you now. But in our church year, to celebrate, our giving to missions has absolutely exploded. When you consider the amount of money that you pay to go on a mission trip, and we include all that in a category called Great Commission Giving, I think, my number off the top of my head, it's just right under $200,000 last year in our church year. I think if it's $189,000, $190,000, something like that. It's extraordinary what you are doing. We hosted our third annual ministry missions fair in March. We had the largest kids extreme ever, 490 enrolled compared to 360 the last year. We hosted Pedal Disciple Now weekend. We relaunched our women's ministry. We have almost 100 ladies in small groups meeting right now, which is phenomenal. We had our largest group, I think, to Kids Camp. I said that, 53 to Kids Camp, 59 to MFuge. We continued our partnership with Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church. And by the way, they are getting so close to opening their building. I talked to Brother Carl last week. And hopefully in January, February, they'll have a ceremony to officially open their building. We'll hopefully get to be a part of that. Our joint worship service with Piney Grove, Carterville, and Pedal First Baptist, and also Mount Vernon together. We completed the kitchen, AC, and vent hood. We also completed 3 upstairs spaces where you saw Annie sitting on the special seats up there for our life groups we call the throne seats. Because one day those are going to be real live toilets one day when we finish the second floor. But right now they're functioning as life group seats and king or queen seats, we'll call them. They're special reserve seating upstairs. We have 3 life groups meeting up there right now. And because we were just out of space. The only place we have to put life groups now is in our worship center again as we have filled up those spaces. We started, Start Here, which is our new members class, which by the way starts January the 10th again. We offered 2 of those last year, our largest participation ever in those 2 opportunities. One day mission trip to Shekinah Glory. We also investigated ministry opportunities in Ohio that just simply did not pan out for various reasons. And we're in the midst of exploring some new opportunities for North America as well. That is just it in a nutshell. That is simply amazing, church family. It is amazing what you have been a part of seeing happen in the year 2015. Now, some of you were here this time last year. Some of you were not here yet. And God has brought you here. You're part of that 60 that God has added as a part of our church family. And so we rejoice just to stop and just take a breath and look back and go, wow, look what God did in you. You know my favorite thing about it? That slideshow, Chris, you did great to the very last slide, is I love it when the preacher and the staff's pictures aren't in there very much. It's you, because you are the body of Christ. We just get to be out front and lead the charge, and we get to be a part of that. That's exciting. That's exciting. Yes. Isn't that exciting? Yes, it is. Thank you. Some of you are kind of getting it. You're waking up. That's good. I get 2 more of those, we'll be Mount Vernon for long. All right, now, let's look at here. So let's talk about reflect and rejoice where we have been. Let's talk about the second thing very quickly, and that is this. Remember who got us here, Christ Jesus. Now, listen, here's the thing. When you know that, we go, yeah, we know, Brad, duh, that's a dumb thing. Don't you run to say that? And the answer is yes, we do, because here's why. Because we use this word RE, because we have to do it again and again, because we don't mean to, but sometimes unconsciously, sometimes we don't think about it, and we kind of get an autopilot, and in the groove of doing ministry, if we're not careful, we think, and we automatically think, well, you know, we really worked hard and tried hard and did this and did that and did those things. But at the end of the day, folks, if God doesn't breathe through the work of this body, it will not happen. Lives will not be changed. People's lives will not be touched forever, and there will be no transformation happening. We'll just be really super busy. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be any busier than I am and not have spiritual benefits from it. Are you with me? Folks, life is short. And the older you get, the more you realize how short life is. And so let us be certain that every day, all the time, we remember who brought Petal First Baptist to this place and who brought you to where you are in this moment of your life, breathing the breath that you just breathed. It is God and God alone. And we must be certain to always never give man or woman any credit, no credit, but only give God the glory that He deserves. Because if we rob Him of that glory, then we get all that we're going to get right here. But God says we're called to build up a foundation in eternity, to build up our rewards in heaven where nothing can take it away. And that happens when we lift up Jesus and say, God, you did it. We just got to be a part of it. We're just blessed that we got to be a part of what you did in our lives and in our community and beyond. So we rejoice and we remember. Now, we're going to talk about next Sunday because sometimes, especially the longer in the journey you get, right? The longer the journey, the more we see God moving. Sometimes the people of Israel had the same thing happen, and they kind of got on autopilot. And so next week, really, as I was studying for this message, I couldn't put both these in one message. It was too much. And so I want to talk to you about Joshua. And the people of Israel got an eye problem. They had gone in and conquered the land of Israel, and they got an eye problem. But there's a solution to that eye problem, and it's an eye solution. And we'll talk about that next Sunday, to be on guard, to be careful. As God blesses, the enemy takes note. You notice that? The enemy takes note. We must be careful and be ready. So the third thing we must do is refocus on what matters most. In the middle of remembering and the remember of reflecting on where we've been, we must be certain to refocus on what matters most. There are essentials for us to visit, these three things for us to visit all the time. We're boiling down in a pot to who we are and why we do what we do. These three core values and convictions should define us and then correlate directly into what we're doing as individuals and as a church family. Sometimes we get too busy, we get too involved in the actual ministry, that if we're not careful, we can lose these core convictions. So here they are. There's three very quickly. They're on your outline there and it'll be here as well. Intentional relationships. Going with our word connect. Intentional relationships. We have to work in our day and age to have relationships. And I'm not talking about relationships where we see somebody at church on a Sunday, we pat them on the back, and we never see them again until next week, and we have no interaction with them all month, and we think, well, I got some deep relationships. That's not relationships, that's surface. We're talking about intentional relationships with three areas. Number one, with Jesus Christ, personally and corporately. Privately, in your quiet time alone with the Lord, meaningful and passionate worship-filled lives, both privately and corporately. And in the middle of that, prayerful dependence. We are prayerfully dependent upon the Lord. Secondly, with others inside the church and life groups, being connected to life groups. That is a core value of our church. And lastly, with others outside the church, evangelism, sharing the gospel. The second core value, not only intentional relationships, the second is transformed lives. Spiritual growth. That happens in the word grow. To be spiritually growing deeper in the Word of God and spiritual disciplines. Vibrant leadership is a key word. We want more and more people to becoming leaders in our church, that it's not just dependent on two or three or five, but it's the growing number of leaders who rise up and say, yes, I will take a lead in this ministry or that area or that particular place. And then lastly of that part, disciples, reproducing disciples. That we understand that every one of us are called to be disciples and to be disciple makers. We ought to be being discipled by somebody, and somebody ought to be discipling us. And we're discipling somebody else. The third one, intentional relationship, transformed lives. The third one, missional living. In three areas, serving inside the church, outside the church, and the giving of our financial resources, time, and energy. These are three core values. Not just we couldn't think of anything else better to say, but we really, our vision 2020, just to remind you, we spent hours and hours looking and pouring over this, saying what matters most, what is key, what is core to who we are. And these are our three core convictions. Intentional relationships, transform lives, and missional living. The question is this, are those a part of your life? Personally, are they a part of our church corporately as the body of believers? So we must be certain to come back and to refocus on what matters most. Notice the next step we need to do is to renew our commitment, our call. There comes a time we have to renew our commitment to our vision and our mission. And our commitment means that we know it, and again, it defines who we are and shapes what we do each and every day. So as we walk this vision and mission, I want to ask you this question. Is it a part of who you are? Is it a part of who you are? What is our vision? Very simply, we desire to be radically transformed by God into a people He can use to transform others. Now here's the first part of that vision. Do you desire to be radically transformed by God? Now, here's the key about this word radically transformed. We don't mean that God wants to do some cosmetic surgery or do a slight makeover over you and just kind of pretty up the dog, right? That's not what God's interested in. God is interested in radical transformation of your lives. Here's the key. God wants your life to be radically different in January of 2017 than it is in January of 2016. So as you stop and pause and think for a moment to go back to January of 2015, is your life and my life been radically transformed by the gospel, by Jesus Christ, over this last year? If not, why not? And what would need to change? And our church family, if we're becoming people who are radically transformed, then guess what happens? As God radically transforms us, and our desire, our wants, our passions, our vision becomes God's vision, and we want to see other people also radically transformed, and we'll do whatever it takes to see that happen. That is our vision. Oh God, make us be people who you radically transform into people who God can use. Because here's what we know, folks. God cannot use people. God will not use churches and people who are not being radically transformed first. It'll happen maybe for a moment. We can be a blip on a radar screen. But if God wants to do a long, sustaining work in our church family, which I believe and pray and hope and we want to see him do, then it has to happen in us first. You with me? So God's got to radically transform my heart so that I have a burden and I have a deep desire and I have a conviction that I want God to do this in my life first. And then as I go out and share those things and minister in his name, I'm ministering not out of something that's not happened to me, but out of something that has happened to me. So when I go and share my testimony, I'm saying, listen, this is what God has done in my life. I'm not calling you to account or judging you. I'm simply saying, this is what God's taught me. And I want to share it with you. Radically transform. Notice the next piece. Not only our vision, we have a mission. How do we make that vision become a reality? Well, really, four key words. Do you remember those four key words? We've said them a bunch of times. I hope you know them. I've heard some folks over the last 6 months or so say, man, I'm not sure I remember what Vision 2020 is about. So we're going to go into over hyperdrive this year and make sure you know Vision 2020. Right? 2020. I said that 2020. It's just 2020, all right? But just making sure you're listening. I get excited about Vision 2020 in 2020 because it's got to have 2020 vision to see to 2020, right? So there you got it. It's four key words. You say them with me. It's connect, grow, commit, and go. They're on your outline. If you couldn't read those together, you are sad. Let's try them again. Let's say it together now like we mean it. Connect, grow, commit, go, right? Those are four key words that define who we are. Four areas we try to put in our newsletter and on the bulletin and what we do and plan and thinking about those four words. What do those four words mean for us? Well, here they are. A call to connect deeply. To connect what? Yourself and others to Christ and the church. To connect deeply, not on a surface level. That's easy. That's what the world does. Connect on a surface level. We're talking about connecting deeply to Christ and to the church and helping others get connected to the body of Christ. Whether they're lost or whether they're de-churched, been out of church for 20 years, wherever they may be, we connect people and ourselves to Christ and his church. That is our call. The grow. What does the grow call? In a deepening relationship with Jesus Christ and others. A call to grow deeper. To go deeper in the Word of God, to go deeper in the things of God. That's our call as a church family. We want to provide opportunities for you to do just that. Life groups being the key part of that, of growing deeper. The third one, notice, the word commit, a call to commit what? Sacrificially. Now we have to add these definitions, these adjectives to these words because sometimes we just say a call to commitment, go, I kind of get that. No, no, we want you to commit sacrificially. And we don't apologize for that and say, well, just can you kind of commit, sort of, kind of? No. Listen, Christ didn't just kind of commit to us, did he? Christ committed sacrificially to us and gave his son, Jesus Christ, for you and for me. And so what would our response be? The same kind of response, to commit sacrificially to him. What do we do? Commit our time and our resources to serving Christ and in serving others. Remember, when we give a pair of shoes, or the Bible, we call it a cup of cold water, and we give that shoe in Jesus' name, do you know what, folks? We have put shoes on 55 little Jesuses. You with me? They don't know. They don't understand the spiritual significance. But I promise you, there'll be some little boy or girl one day who's going to grow up into an adult, and they'll say, there was some church, I don't even know who they were, but they cared enough about me to put shoes on my feet. That's powerful. A call to go and multiply rapidly. A call to go. Now, here's where some of us kind of check out, because you go, well, that's only for those that are called to go overseas. That's not me. Folks, again, our deep and desire is to open more doors, and we have plans for that. We're working on more things. We'll have more studying and happening in the first part of this year to be certain there are many opportunities for you to go. the vast majority of us, 40 people, we're running 322. That's, I don't know what percent, that's 10%, a little over 10% of our church family. That's pretty awesome, though, by the way. Went overseas. That's cool. But 10 to 15% is about all that's going to be able to go overseas, all that you can afford, all that we can afford to make that happen. So we've got to open more doors in North America and in Mississippi and even locally for you to be able to go. And here's the thing about going. We don't just want to go. We want to go and watch this multiply rapidly. Our desire as a church family, as we set out Vision 2020, we looked at us growing 10 to 15% every year. Okay? Now, if some of you in the business world, if you went into your boss and said, hey, I got a business plan. I'm looking at some of you business folks. And you said, hey, we're going to grow our business 10 to 15% every year. What do you think your boss would say to you? Wow. Yeah, wow. You're going to get a big bonus, right? They'll say, well, now let's temper that down a little bit. That's a little bit unrealistic. Way to go. Way to be gung-ho. That's great and awesome. Hey, can we just do 5%, right? God is blessing us. We're still continuing that 10% mode. And Dr. Wall will tell you, we're blessed, folks. Not many churches are growing 10 to 15% every single year. Now, that only translates about 35 or 40 people, but that's significant. And so we're already looking 2017. So this is, let me just kind of shake your earth a little bit. This will be the last time, we believe the last full year of 2016 will be the last time we're in one worship service. I just said that out loud. Your Vision 2020 and this little wonderful, beautiful brochure that maybe I'm sure you have at home and you studied and you framed it. I know. It has in here, by 2017, your vision has already looked ahead and said, you know what, if we continue on this pace to grow, we're going to have to be in two worship services. It's that awesome word, change. Yuck. I hate it, don't you? I always tell my dad, I don't mind change as long as I'm in control of it. I have no problem. Some of you get that in just a minute. We're already planning for that. We want to be prepared for that. We don't look around and all of a sudden go, holy cow, people aren't coming. They're coming to the parking lot and they're leaving. That's why we got you parking the grass. Because here's what we know from research tells us. People drive in the parking lot and they have to circle like they do at the mall. They'll circle at the mall. They ain't going to circle the church for a parking place. They'll just go right in one out and right out the other exit. I'm telling you, they'll do it. Right? Now, some of you do it at the mall. Men, we'll look around the wives. Uh-oh, no parking place. We're going to have to go. We can't park that far away, right? We'll come back next week. Right? Folks, we'll do that in church. You come inside here, and if it's too crowded, that's why we're always, you don't even, some of you, I know y'all love to make fun of me. Some of y'all don't even know about how anal retentive I am about these chairs. All right? It's a great biblical illustration. Some of you laughed when it makes sense. I'm so anal about this. Let me tell you why. When you start this first row, okay, we measure this so significant. We want to get as many chairs in here as close as possible as we can, get as many people of you in here, because we want to keep this 80% thing happening, right? If we consistently average over 80%, people consider a church to be full. So you always got to have empty seats, right? And so we measure just instant. We have these little dial rods. We shrunk it. You didn't know this. Just call us American Airlines or Delta Airlines. We shrunk your seating leg room by 2 inches last year. And you didn't even know it. But we didn't charge you anymore. It's still free. Right? So we charge it. Here's what we know. If we'll start and we don't measure, by the time we get to the back row, watch this. By the time we get to the back row, those two rows will look like Emma Greer at 2 trying to put those rows together. And they'll be off by 1.5 to 2 feet at the back. Okay, here's the biblical illustration. If we don't keep our eyes on the vision and the mission and the daily core values and the connect, grow, commit, go, and that distance will be off by the time we get to the back. We'll miss our mission and vision. We will not be all together. Right? You get the picture. So we're playing, we're thinking, a call to go. Here's what we want to do. Multiply rapidly. Our goal is not to add, listen to me, is to add 5 new people and go, woohoo, we added 5 new people. And it's not because I'm just so driven. I'm a driven person. And 20 baptisms is awesome. And I'm rejoicing that there's some of you in this building, children and teenagers, know Christ. But only one adult we baptized in 2015, or maybe two, how about 21? So we're not content with that. We're not going to say and pat ourselves on the back and say, well, we can kind of sit back and take it easy. That's a lot of baptisms. Good night. We've gone over 100 baptisms in the last 3 years. No, no, no. There's so many more lost people. And now here's the good news. There's more of you to reach more lost people. Last one. We got to hurry. Y'all aren't listening fast enough. Here we go. Resolve. I made a resolution to be through on time, so here I go. I got to hurry. Resolve to concentrate on these areas. We're going to focus in on 4 areas, connect, grow, commit, go, and specific things in those 4 areas. All right? Now, here's what I want you to do. We're going to kind of look at these quickly, and then in a moment, I'm going to ask you to fill in something for yourself. In our Vision 2020 plan, we want to make these things a reality. And so much so that as we kind of ended this year, I had set my whole preaching plan for the whole year. And you know what? It is completely erased. Because as God began to speak to our hearts, as a staff and some of our key leaders, we were talking together, and some key words began to emerge that we thought really we need to really focus in on and zone in on. So here they are under these four areas. Watch this. Under word connect, here's what we want to see happen that are going to be key words. Do you have it here? Is what comes up next? I don't know how this really worked or not, if y'all got this done. Oh, no. Do you have like the little, No, it doesn't have. Okay. All right. So under the connect, here's what we want to see happen. These three areas. We're going to focus on prayer. Okay? Huge focus. And we're contemplating doing a life group series on prayer. Now, I want to tell you, when somebody came and brought that to me, and I'm like, nobody in our church is going to be super excited to do an eight-week study on prayer. I did an eight-week study on marriage. Everybody be excited. Eight-week study on prayer. Is everybody going to be excited about that? But here's what I know. It's one of our core values. And so if it's really a core value, then we're going to talk about how do you pray? When do you pray? What do you pray? Right? So we're going to focus on being prayerfully dependent and focused on that. Some message series, some opportunities for us to launch a prayer ministry. We'll be a part of that. Front, middle, door, back, emphasis, door, emphasis, right? There'll be key things. One of our areas of when people come to our building and when they come, when they leave, how do we connect to them? Key efforts here. Start here, discovering church membership. We offer it in January and August. If you have joined our church in the last year and you've not taken this class, you need to. And if you have, you're thinking about joining our church, here's a great one to take to figure out what is Petal First Baptist about. That's what this class is about. It meets four Sundays, January 10th through January 31st. You can sign up. We get the material for you for free. You just come and be a part of it. It's an awesome opportunity to hear. If you've come before and you missed one of the two sessions or one of the three sessions or four, you can come in on one of those Sundays you missed. We'll do the same ones again. Come in and we'll do the one that you missed so you can catch up. Because here's our thing. In 2016, we want to start making it. Before you can join, it won't be today. We've got to have a cut line here somewhere. We say, if you want to join, before you can join, you have to take this class first. Why? Why would we do that? That seems ridiculous, Brad. No, it's really important because here's what we need to know. When you join, we want you to know that we expect something from you. We're not just jumping on the bus to hop on a seat and take up room and say, woohoo, let's ride to heaven. Woohoo! No, we're going to ride to heaven. We're going to get off the bus regularly. And we're going to pass the offering plate on the bus. Y'all get the analogy here, right? We're going to open the Bible on the bus. We're going to look at you and say, it's time to get up off the bus, get those heinies off, and let's go serve. Let's go in the name of Jesus, right? So we want people to know that up front. We want you to join and think, well, I can just join for whatever. No. When you join, this means something to be a part of Petal First Baptist Church. I'm sorry, Reese. I'm going too long. I know it. I'm trying to hurry. All right, so grow. Here's the other ones here. Grow, life groups, right? We're going to focus on life groups. You only grew 6%. That's great, but not good enough. We got to be growing more. We got to start a new life group. So life group's going to be a huge focus for us in 2016. Discipleship, small groups will be a key focus. We're going to complete the next class level called Go Deeper, Discovering Spiritual Maturity. Our hope is to complete that and offer that in the spring of 2016. Commit, the next words. One of the things in our finance team, we talked about helping people get to a place where they can give financially. Some of you have heard about Dave Ramsey. There's all kinds of things. We're going to offer somewhere in 2016 a way for you to get to a place where you're financially secure in a way so that you can give. So many people say, I want to give, but I can't. I'm up to debt in my eyeballs. I don't know how to get out of it. We want to offer you a biblical solution because the Bible speaks to finances a lot. How do you do that? That'll be a part of commit. And we'll complete also the third key piece of the commit, the discovering my ministry in the fall of 2016. And then lastly, the go piece. We want to offer more emphasis in Mississippi and in North America so more people can get involved. Also, some new ministries we hope to see launch off the ground to reach adults in Petal in 2016. Whew. Now, somebody said, or I've heard people say in recent days, well, goodness gracious, Brad, we are so busy. We're doing so much. Well, here's our goal. We don't want to be busy. We're going to try to keep them under these four areas, connect, grow, commit, go. And if they don't line up under these areas, okay, then we don't need to do them. But if they fit and somebody has a passion for them and a calling to do them, then we want to help undergird people do it. So here's my call to you. Look there on your outline. There's a blank one of these right here that has all this information. And I want you to be thinking and praying quickly. And over this week, and we'll come together next week and dive into this just a little bit more, but what will be your next step in each of these four areas? So, for example, for Connect, some of you need to start here. Some of you need to connect and officially join our church family or another one. Some of you need to grow. You need to get into a life group and start growing deeper in your faith. Some of you need to commit. You need to serve in a ministry. And let me help you hear this one, too. So hear my heart. This is a huge one, okay? You need to be a part of a ministry. And here's what we know. We don't have a ton of places right now for people to plug into new ministries. And what we want you to know is don't wait until somebody says, hey, we need to start this new ministry, and we're going to lead it, and we just need you to join. Here's what we want you to be praying. God, I'm not serving somewhere. I'm not sure where I need to serve, but God, would you begin to speak to me about where I need to serve, and maybe it's a new ministry that's not yet happened. And God, could I be a part of leading out in that particular ministry? And we want to help undergird you and empower you to do that. So here's what we want to do. We want to take the brakes off, the doors off, the whatever we got to take off, the governor on the accelerator. We want to accelerate in 2016 the ministries that you are involved and connected to in 2016. And our church office and our leadership, we are not going to be any sort of a block to you other than make certain that it lines up with our Vision 2020. And where it fits in Connect, Grow, Commit, Go. And we want to help empower you and help you make that ministry become a reality. So would you take time this week? I know this is a challenge for you to do that. Take time and say, God, what is my next step in each of these four areas for 2016? Both personally and maybe as you see as our church corporately. I've identified for you our corporate goals, what we believe is going to happen. As we close this morning, as we've done these key things, we've talked about several things together. We have rejoiced. We've reflected together. We've rejoiced over those things. I'm going back and checking my outline here. We have rejoiced. We have refocused on what matters most, our core convictions. We have talked about and renewed our commitment to our call. We have resolved to concentrate on these four areas and specific things under those four areas. Lastly, how many of you, just for a moment, were here in May 2012, 13, and you got a brick like this? Would you just raise your hand high in the air, okay? Look around the building. I want everybody to look around and see, okay? You got a brick like this, all right? Put them down for just a second. How many of you were not here in May of 2012 on that Sunday? That would be the rest of you. This is group participation. You have to all do one or the other. You cannot not vote, all right? Now, on May 13th of 2012, God started what we called It's a New Day at Petal First Baptist. I preached that very first Sunday. It was a huge Sunday. There were 201 people in the building that day. That was extraordinary that day. 277 chairs were out that day. Today, there are 455 chairs out. And we ask you then, and some of you, I've seen it on your mantle, it's in your fireplace and other places in your house. And we ask you then, would you make a commitment to say, hand me another brick and I will put my brick there and help build the foundation for Petal First Baptist? And those hands that went up on May the 13th and you came to the front and with your family and you got a brick, laid the foundation for those of you who were not yet here. We didn't know what you looked like. We didn't know what you sounded like. We didn't know, maybe didn't even know who you were. And you didn't know who we were. By God's grace and God's providence and faith, listen, you grabbed a brick, church family, and it's made a difference in the city of Petal. And it's made a difference in Mississippi with Shekinah Glory. And it's made a difference with Mount Vernon, our partnership. And it's made a difference in Haiti. And it's made a difference in Sangal Sakadao. It's made a difference. So here's what I'm asking you. Next Sunday, we'll have these bricks again. Those of you who've got yet to get one. Because here's what we know. By May of 2016, we'll be halfway to 2020. Halfway, be 3.5 years to get us to 2020. I want to ask you, the rest of you, to take a brick and say, I'll be a part of building for the next 3.5 years. For the next 3.5 years, for those, listen to me, who have still yet to come. There are those that are shopping in Walmart. There are those sitting in homes in Petal who are lost and do not know Jesus Christ. And the question is this: will you be willing to say, God, would you radically transform me in such a way that you can use me to transform the lives of other people? I'm going to ask you to come prepared next week. I want to give you a week to think about it before you come and grab one. To grab a brick next week and say, I'll be a part. Because here's what we believe. We've guesstimated, if we continue to grow at that 10 to 15% rate, by the year 2020, we'll be running close to 600 people in this building for worship. Wow. But it won't happen unless you and I take a brick and say, hand me another brick, Lord, and I'll put my brick down, and you can build on me. R.E., again and again. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for this morning. What a great time together. I pray that these folks in this room walk out going, wow, wow. There's so many numbers, my head is swimming. I can't even remember all the things he just talked about. So many things, God, that you have done in our midst, in our presence. And God, we just again stop and give you glory and honor and praise. We just stop and say, Lord, thank you for what you have done and what you have wrought in our midst. And God, we're asking you to do it again and again and again. We don't want to stop and say, Lord, you've done enough. Lord, you've done more than we could ever deserve. But God, we want you to do more in our lives in 2016. You have done so much in 2015. We can't imagine you doing more. But God, we want to pray that prayer that Jabez prayed. God, would you do more? Would you expand our influence? Would you give us more of your presence? Would you keep us from the evil one? So that we can be a light to a dark and dying world. Starting right here in Petal, Mississippi. God, I pray for each person to stop and to consider, Lord, that where their part would be in these four words, in connect, grow, commit, and go. For some, it is to connect. They don't know you as Savior and Lord. And this morning, Lord, would they come to find you as Savior and Lord, to admit they're a sinner, to ask you to forgive them of all their sins, to believe with their heart and with their soul that you are the Son of God. You came and died for them and rose again so they can have eternal life, both in the ages to come and even to experience it right now. And believe it in such a way, Lord, they would confess you as their Savior and say, Lord, I cannot save myself. Would you save me? And then, Lord, to commit their life to you as Lord. Say, Lord, you're the boss. I give you a blank sheet of paper. God, would you radically transform me right here and right now? I pray for any person that would pray that prayer right now. I know, Lord, you'll hear it. Lord, for others, say, you know what? I need a part of a church family. I need a part of grabbing a brick next Sunday and say, I want to be a part of Petal First Baptist. God, you've spoken to me. I don't need to wait any longer. Now is the time. Today is the day. The first day of the new year. What a great way to start a new year. I pray for those who've already trusted Christ but never made it public, never been baptized. What a great way to start to say, Lord, I want to step out. And maybe my stepping out will encourage somebody else to come. Maybe for some, Lord, in this area of growth, they need to be in a life group. They're not connected. They only come in and they're in for an hour and they leave. They're not connected. Lord, they're not growing deeper with other believers. So God, maybe that's their prayer this morning. For others to commit. Maybe it's to be a part of the ministry. Maybe it's to be start giving on this first Sunday of the year. Lord, some of us, all of us, need to go. And go more to see the kingdom multiply rapidly. God, whatever it is you're calling us to do, I pray we'll be obedient to do it. And here's what we know, Lord. We're going to sing this confession to you. Lord, we cannot do any of this without you. And so, Lord, our prayer to you is, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And I pray for freedom in this building to worship this morning. Lord, do not worry, because some of us need to put our hands on and say, Lord, I need you desperately in my life where I am. And if I'm going to be a part of doing these things, Lord, I'm going to need you. God, we need you if we're going to step out in these areas. So, God, make this our prayer as we sing it to you and respond to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.